Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, guide us and protect us as we each seek to do your will upon earth. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for your gift of Jesus Christ and of your Bible. Show us each how to prepare spiritually and physically. In Jesus' name, amen. We are not to live in fear, nor are we to ignore what is right in front of us. God gave us eyes to see, so let us use them. I've been thinking about those people who have been storing up over the years food and water, fuel for generators to power their lights and their entertainment, and I am thinking way beyond preppers. I am talking about big groups of people who are storing food and water, energy, and guns and lots of bullets. I'm talking about our government and governments worldwide who are doing this. Also, the elite are doing this. Many millions of dollars are spent on these preparations. In fact, many billions of dollars are being spent by our government and by the elite. There are things just going on, and we try to be aware of the events that influence our lives. For so long, we have trusted the people in media and the people in government to tell us what we need to know, but they've not done a very good job of telling us what concerns we ought to be aware of, especially lately. Therefore, let us go to a more reliable source, and that is the Bible. The Bible tells us principles to live by, and it has many different lessons in many different situations. We each get to look at how to apply these different lessons to our own lives. I hope that we learn and we look and that we have ideas to inspire us as to what we should be prepared for dealing with in one situation or another. There can be emergency situations, and we have an uncertain period of time of how long we will have to deal with anything. Will it be a few days or a few months or longer? And in such a time of uncertainty, what will we have to depend on? Certainly ourselves, but what about our family or our church family or our government? Who will help us? I think of Benjamin Franklin, and he said, "Those who fail to prepare are preparing to fail." Well, Ben Franklin, you have a word of wisdom there. So I take that to mean we should identify what is going on, identify our concerns, and take reasonable steps to prepare for that just-in-case situation. And look at what are our basic needs. I think of air, water, food, and warmth. Those are basics. For air, I think an inexpensive particle mask is good. If we don't have one of those, we can always use a dampened t-shirt. That's just okay. Water is important. and it is often overlooked, but make sure you have some stored. It's hard to have too much water. 1 gallon per person today, not today, per day, is recommended. And that does not include bathing or flushing the toilet. So definitely store water. Even get a 55-gallon plastic drum. They come in food grade, and you can store your water in them. Because water is essential. And food, why, that follows right along. Don't we know that it is not fun to miss any meal? Or to go without food for a day? That can be tough. So have emergency food on hand. Food that does not need refrigeration and it does not need cooking. Oh, and also have food which does need cooking. Food and water are important. So is warmth and shelter. Warm clothes are important, especially to have a warm coat, a stocking cap, and even a scarf for around your neck. Boots and gloves are also really good to have in the cold. And firewood? Yep, get some firewood. You also might give some thought to rain, because our clothing needs change if we are dealing with a rainstorm. And in an emergency, we just might be in the middle of a rainstorm, and you'd have to think about keeping dry. So remember good ideas. Other good ideas, too, like sleeping bags and flashlights and a radio and plenty of spare batteries. All these things are good for your emergency preparations. And you will be keeping most of your emergency preparations in your home, but keep some of them in your car as well, or at least have a bag that you can put in and take out of your car, because occasionally we will get stuck out on the road, and you can only guess what you will need to prepare for. Preparation is for everything. There are all sorts of needs. But the water, the food, and the warmth or clothes, those are always elements of preparedness. I was in San Francisco the day of the 1989 Loma Prieta earthquake. It was a surreal experience to hear the news of the destruction all around the Bay Area. Only battery-powered radios worked. Freeways had collapsed, and traffic signals were out. There was no light at night either. It was quite an experience. No lights except for the emergency vehicles that went up and down the streets with their lights on, flashing brightly. And then there were also homeless who had fires in the streets, bonfires to keep warm. So if we ever had to live without electricity, oh, it would be difficult, like living 100 years ago. That's what would happen if our electricity went out. We would have to rethink everything. And how would we want to be prepared? Well, just take some steps. Think about it and take those steps before a real need arises. Think about air, water, food, and warmth. And all of these different areas without electricity. So, flashlights, radio, batteries, those are also good ideas. They just either are necessary or they give comfort. Keep in mind that your loved ones also need to be prepared. And if you are prepared, your loved ones they will have less anxiety about you. And if your loved ones are prepared, you will have less anxiety about them. So all in all, it is good to be prepared. So what if we do have some big earthquakes? Earthquakes could easily close roads, shut off our electricities, and we'd have to find alternative means to do everything. We'd have to find another way home. We could be delayed on the road for a day or two or three. And people around you go through real trouble in those cases. So remember how important it is to give comfort and to show hope to people who are in difficulties. And God equipped us to show hope in this life and for our next life with Jesus Christ. So be prepared in that very way to give compassion. And you, that can be to have basic first aid too. Now, from my view, I think about the most basic first aid, and I like to have a little bit with me. It's really basic. Just cloth medical tape, that can do a whole lot. With gauze pads and triple antibiotic ointment. Those things are so important. You can cover a big wound or a little wound. Very, very good. Cloth medical tape, gauze pads, and triple antibiotic ointment. Also, ibuprofen or aspirin or something like that. And don't forget the burn ointment. And some people have to remember their prescription medication. So in an emergency situation, it will be difficult to get your prescription refilled. Even if you go to an emergency shelter, they are mostly unable to supply any of those prescription needs. So get prepared, because an emergency situation, well, everything will be gone off the store shelves that you need. All the things that you want, they will rapidly empty. That's the way it was for the Loma Prieta earthquake. And that's the way it was for the Japan Fukushima nuclear power plant being hit by the tsunami. That was in 2011. At that time, there I was in the Bay Area, and I'd heard about that happening. Within 2 hours, I went to search out iodine tablets because I was aware that there could be a radiation threat. So everywhere, they were out of stock of iodine tablets. And they were even sold out of kelp tablets, which have just a very, very small amount of iodine in them. So people bought all of the iodine because they were aware of the danger to your thyroid gland from radioactivity. See, if there is a nuclear event or accident, you want to take pure iodine because this fills up your thyroid gland with good iodine, and thus your thyroid gland does not absorb the bad radioactive iodine, which would kill your thyroid gland in kind of short order. And it complicates your life a lot, because now you have to take medicine all the time. So think about those just-in-case events, and it's an example of what you want to be concerned about. Hey, another example is the Northridge earthquake. That happened a few years ago, too. And at that earthquake, it occurred early in the morning, and many of the windows were broken in people's homes. So people got up out of bed to look out the window to see what was going on. And many people got their feet cut on the glass from the windows. So in this case, preparedness would mean having slippers next to your bed. So you just keep thinking about those emergency events and what you need to do to prepare. Having things on hand is very good. It's like having an insurance policy because, you know, an insurance policy that pays out for your, if you have a damage to your car or your home or even your life. So why not have food insurance? Yes. Food insurance even gives you something for the money you spend. It's not just a paper guarantee, something that tells you they will pay you if that happens. You actually have something right in your hand. Food. Food insurance, I call it. So get food. Now, in these days, from time to time, we are getting big natural disasters. Suddenly, you are hit without a warning. And there, then what? You have no gasoline, no electricity, no groceries, no ATM, and no bank. So that's what happens suddenly in an emergency, whether it's a hurricane or an earthquake. We have hurricanes right now. So all these things are to be a big concern. But what do we do? Do something. And you can only guess how long something like that would last. With the huge trouble might last for days, or it might last for weeks, or it might last for months. Only God knows how long it will last. To be without electricity, to be without regular food or water, you just don't know. And did you have any warning of a big emergency event coming? Well, if there was any warning, all the grocery stores get emptied of their food, and all the lumber places get empty of their plywood. That just happens like immediately, just like that potassium iodide gets gone immediately, or even the kelp tablets. So these things are gone within an hour or hours. Get prepared now while you have the chance, and things are still easy to find. Anyway, this is what happens to those most desirable items, whatever they are. Foods or nails, anything. They're just gone. So think about it. Think about how you will want to handle a difficulty in the future. What do you need to get through it? That is just life. It is the uncertainties of life for everything. Sure, for those natural disasters, even for our health or our money. Just look at money. Money has changed too. Now, what do we do about money? It's a really big item. I know in the United States we still have dollars. And the French, they still use francs. And the British, they still use pounds. But if you were to take a 100-year-old banknote into the bank, they would not honor it. Or it would have to be a management-level decision if they were going to honor that money to see if it was still good. So all these things are factors into how you understand what to do. A lot has changed with our United States currency in the last 105 years or so like that. For the first 100 years of the United States, our money was very stable because our money was, in fact, gold or silver coins and copper for the cents. Our U.S. Constitution requires that our money would only be specie, and specie means a precious or a semi-precious metal. But over the last 50 years, our coins have been made of zinc, completely of zinc. Zinc has no value monetarily. Each coin is worth only a couple of cents. And our paper currency, the same thing. It has no value by itself. It is only worth the paper it is written on and the promise that says it is worth something. So our dollar has no value based in reality, and this has been the way the dollar has always been. No, not always, but, well, let me go back. The United States dollar has lost 90% of its purchasing power in the last 100 years since the Federal Reserve took control of it. Well, Congress gave the Federal Reserve control. And this has occurred because inflation has been encouraged, not just allowed, but encouraged. Now, it's only a few percent a year, but over 100 years, a few percent per year really adds up, and that has brought us to this point where the buying power of the United States dollar has decreased every single year due to intentional inflation. And now the United States dollar has only a fraction, a few cents of its original value. But we do maintain a value because the United States dollar is what is called the world reserve currency. That is how international business transactions are transacted between countries and large purchases. So if it wasn't for that, our inflation would be even greater. We have both China and Russia are aggressively trying to challenge the position of the United States dollar. They are aggressively challenging this. So it's an element of uncertainty. One big economic event could change everything. From what I can tell, the United Nations World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, I think, would gladly unseat the United States dollar from this position world dominance. But here again, I think we have a few years before it'll happen, a few short years. Some people think it's going to be months. I think that something might happen in weeks or months, but it will only be one step. And after that, it will be a couple of years away. My opinion. I don't have any inside knowledge. I just have observed these things for years. Now, if that were to happen, there would be a huge number of dollars returning to the United States because they are held all over the world by corporations and governments. U.S. dollars are. Now, if they return to the United States, there's a principle at work, which is the more of something you have, the less is each one's value. So that would cause real big inflation. It would be a real big problem. And just like other nations of the world in the last 100 years or more, they have had that same thing happen to them, and they become unstable economically and politically. We've seen this happening from Rome, ancient Rome, to the 1700s, France. That happened twice in the 1700s in France, to Zimbabwe and Argentina and Venezuela and other countries too. Oh, it's just the way it works. There are examples throughout history, and we can see it is at work today in our own country, but we just don't know the timing. There are lots of different options as to whether the United States has months or years or weeks before we see a monetary conflict occur, or call it a crash. And me, I see the different possibilities, and I don't know what to think. I can see it both ways. But I say, in a figurative way, buckle your seatbelt, because something big has to happen. It will be destabilizing. And whenever it happens, I think just get a little prepared for it. And nevertheless, stay positive, because you still have to examine the problems in front of you. And remember that God put us here, right now, because we were born for a time such as this. And because of that, we know we can get through it, whatever it is that is coming our way. We will get through it, whatever it is. So be prudent, be careful, and be faithful to Jesus Christ along the way. And still, we have to realize what is what normal situations would bring about and what it would be practical to do, like having practical supplies on hand as we go along down this path. I, of course, think of water and food. For food, I prefer grains because They retain their nutrition as long as they are stored as a whole grain. And I suggest wheat or legumes, or maybe even non-GMO corn. And white rice is good for a change, too. Beyond those grains, you can have sugar, olive oil, and salt. And get a wheat grinder, or two wheat grinders in case one breaks or goes missing. And then have all the flavorings you could want. And everybody does that one different. So it's just a matter of you have to get something together for that just-in-case situation. How much wheat do you get anyway? Well, FEMA says if your basic food source was to be wheat, you should have 275 pounds of wheat for one person for 1 year. Now, that fills a 55-gallon drum just about full, and it can seem like a lot to you, and in one way it is. But if you think about adding up all the bags of groceries that you buy in 1 year and that you bring home, then one 55-gallon drum full of wheat, it's not so much after all. So remember that I have ideas that have been examined over time, and you can write me for my free list, and I'll send it to you. I'll give you that address at the end of this broadcast. Or you can listen at www.christtoday.org and get that information. So, whatever is a real consideration, you have to look at. And only you know the answers to that, because you know what is acceptable to you in your taste for food, in your need for water, and in your financial situation. But look at the problems around us, and that will help to motivate you to figure out what to do in the future. Examine these real concerns, and then examine how you would deal with those concerns. This has nothing to do with fear. Fear is nothing to do with this process. No, it's just the opposite. We examine how to overcome fear and overcome the situation that might be in front of us. And what does it do? It builds up hope and a path to overcome the difficulties we might face. Difficulties come in all shapes and all sizes. Oh, they can be little ones also, and we have to be aware of those. Why, you might have lost a key, or you might have got a flat tire. Those are little. And how about a big one? Well, there could be a volcano or an earthquake. Those are gigantic. So we may have hardships to overcome, whatever they are, but we can and we will successfully deal with these situations. And a little forethought will go a long way to protecting us from these difficulties. Yeah, it can be small events or large events. Everything happens. Earthquakes happen, and that's just the way it is. They have happened, but we haven't had the big one on this coast. Anyway, not for a long, long time in our history. But they could happen really anywhere and anytime. These days, there are scientists who say that we could have an earthquake anytime on the Hayward Fault and an earthquake anytime on the San Andreas Fault, especially the southern section of the San Andreas Fault. And then there's the continental subduction zone off the coast of Northern California and Oregon and Washington. This could wipe out cities, and this could affect us anytime. It is a huge, huge problem. And another potential huge, huge problem is the Yellowstone Super Caldera volcano. And if that erupts, it could cover 1/3 to 2/3 of the United States in at least 1 foot of ash. It's just one of those things. How do you figure it out? Well, volcanoes have happened in history before. If you look back, you will see the Krakatoa volcano in Indonesia. That went off in 1883, and it was said that the eruption was so loud that it could be heard halfway around the world. And before that, there was Mount Tambora in Indonesia. That went off in 1815, and there was so much ash from that volcano that for the next year, it lingered longer, but the next year was called the Year Without a Summer. And it was reported that in June, the summer of 1816, water left out overnight in London would freeze solid. Now, London shouldn't freeze. It's right on the ocean. Basically, it is. So, with that event, combined with 1813, which was already an unusually cold winter, and 1814 also, and then 1815 was the eruption, and 1816 was the ash cloud all around the world, which made for some very cold summers and winters. It devastated the crop yields, and there wasn't enough grain to feed the people. So thousands of people starved to death. Of course, that would never happen again, would it? No, because we have such great technology. We could fix it. Or could we? I am not sure we could. But we do have some technology that would help. But as I see it, it's another reason to store food. Yep, I sure do think so. Because we have had things happen in history. Back in the 1800s, we've had those several things, and we had the New Madrid earthquake fault. That was around St. Louis, Missouri. And that made the Mississippi River flow backwards for a short time. So, yeah, big things happen. Do I know what? Do I know when? Nope. But that earthquake was so big, and it caused such big changes in the earth that geysers were reported to have shot out of the earth from the underground reservoirs, 100 feet in the air or higher. And there were not many inhabitants of this area at that time, but the few who were in the area said that they thought the event was the end of the world. The earthquake happened in the dark, and in those days there were no flashlights, so it must have been terrifying for the people who were going through it. Now, even today, such an event would be terrifying, really, but at least we would have flashlights. And we have neighbors who we hope would help us. But really, let's look at that concept of help again. Let's look in the other way. Let's put it in terms of how we can help others. Think about that for a moment. And what does it take to be able to help others? Well, it takes a willingness to help, of course. And it takes some physical abilities to help. And it takes something to help with. So you have to have some things that you can lend people or give people. It can be in terms of water and food. How about a warm beverage in a time of cold weather? And then there's raw materials. If you have raw materials or a coat or a sleeping bag or extra tools or even matches or batteries, all these things, if you have extra of them, you can show the love of Christ and share them with people. Now, it's important in times of this kind of a great difficulty that you also relate that there is spiritual comfort to be given. And spiritual comfort is much more important than physical comfort, even though they often go hand in hand. Just ask a missionary. Well, in life, and especially in difficult times, we will, and other people, will struggle with the question of, if God is good, why does he allow bad things to happen? And maybe that is a discussion that you can have. You can have a short answer or a long answer. Because the short answer is God allows free will. And so we have free will, each one of us. And that allows us to do good or evil. And if you have a longer discussion, you can go and use Bible examples. You might use Adam and Eve. You might go back to the angels. Or more recent events than Adam and Eve, there's lots of examples of mankind either following or not following God's will and commandments. And then in one way or another, there are consequences. Because God has good commandments that he wants each one of us to follow. So you can have discussions that are either short or long for people who don't know God through Jesus Christ. During life, you know what? We have lots of opportunities to speak about the glory of God and about his laws and the consequences of things when we don't follow God's laws. So let's remember to be completely faithful to God, and then when opportunities present themselves, we will be able to respond appropriately. And all the while, we will pray. That is essential. So for big problems or little problems, a little preparedness has a big effect. Yes, even those little problems affect us. And they can be common, just plain old little problems like, oh, you know how it is. A paper cut can really change what we can do. Or a burn on our thumb. Or a headache. Or how about a cut that doesn't stop bleeding? Huh, have you ever sewed a button and put the needle into your thumb? Yes, all these things are small, but they do make a little problem. Sometimes it's a big problem. Oh, and you can have other problems too, like a tire that's low on air and you want to go someplace. Or how about if somebody returns your car and the gas gauge is close to empty? And how about if your first aid kit is not where it's supposed to be? Your flashlight doesn't work? Your phone charger is broken? Your glasses got squished? And they still work, but not well. So little things all over the place. They're not life-threatening, but they are a real inconvenience. So all in all, we can be prepared for those little things too. How do we fix things when we can't go to the store and get new ones? It's a big question, and we have to have some thoughts on how to deal with all the different situations. Yeah, have you ever read a book where someone says, and I just sat there in stunned silence? That's what the book says. And maybe you've had that happen to you, where you just were not ready for something, and yes, you just sat there in stunned silence. You just kind of froze right on the spot. And maybe you wanted to say something, but you just couldn't get the words out of your mouth. Sure, I think we've all had that happen. I have. Sometimes it's embarrassing, and sometimes, well, things happen. I know we have to remember that all these things happen, and if we have a little preparation for something, we can deal with it better. When we have trauma in front of us, we can deal with it better if we have given it a little examination of what we would do if. This is a study, a real study by trauma psychologists or psychiatrists. No, they're psychologists and trauma workers. They all have to consider these things. Examine what you can overcome and examine what your reaction is. And if you're prepared, you can deal with the situations right in front of you. So give it a little thought and examine what this, what some kind of an emergency right in front of you just might be and how you would respond to it. And always pray. Pray before, pray during, and pray after. Praying is a great benefit. So you give a little thought to what situations you just might have to deal with. And in that way, you will not get completely surprised. And if you can be a little better prepared for that just in case, well, it's better to have some preparation than none. And I can only guess what things you view are important at the time. Get a little preparation, and that'll help you deal with any situation. Of course, I think of water. How could I not think of water? Because that's so important for preparedness. You need a gallon per person per day. And of course, people have survived on a lot less. But to keep your body functioning well and your digestive system functioning properly, you will need water. And then there's water for cooking, for bathing, and for flushing the toilet. So yeah, water. You need water. And an earthquake could cause the water to stop, especially if there was a big, long earthquake fault where countless water lines were broken. Do you think your water line would be among the first to be repaired? Well, probably not. And in that case, you could be without water for weeks, more or less weeks. And in that case, you might not be able to get to the grocery store either to buy other water, because the roads might be closed. Yes, anticipate the troubles and then take some steps. If the stores are all closed and the roads are broken down, the water companies around the state do have ways to deliver water. But it's not what you think. You still will need a container to go to the one of several spots within a city where they distribute the water. And how would you get it home without a car? Well, do you have a kid or a grandkid that has a wagon? That's a good way. But you have to get the water home, whether it's from a water outlet that the water district opens up, or if it's from a creek or a river. And if it's from a creek or a river, well, you have to purify your water so that it's drinkable. Many people will boil it for 1 to 3 minutes. That's always a good one. Other people will add 8 drops of bleach, that is regular and unscented bleach, to a gallon of water. And if the water is a little bit cloudy, you double that to 16 drops. And then you let the water stand for 30 minutes before you drink it or use it. There are also backpacking water filters. Those work well. And there's also treating it with an ultraviolet light. And I know one of these is called the SteriPen, and it runs on batteries. And you get your glass of water, and you put the SteriPen in it for just like a minute, and then it's okay to drink. You can also use that same method of ultraviolet light by leaving water out in a quart jar, for instance, for 8 or so hours, and the ultraviolet light from the sun on a clear day will do the same thing. It will purify your water, but you have to leave it all day long. Water purification is a big subject, and I am just touching upon a few little pieces of it. It's not enough for you. You need to know more. You need to know what you want to purify out of your water, and you want to know how to do it. It's a big subject. So research it and decide what it is you want to overcome and how to do it. So, when you see how difficult it is, you will want to store water because it's so much easier to have a few containers of water than it is to purify it. Treating water, it takes time and attention. Oh, and if you don't treat your water right, you will want to have some anti-diarrheal tablets on hand, lots of them, for you and for the other people. Don't forget that. So, yeah. After air, water is the most important, and after water, food is. For food, you will be getting the food that appeals to you. Canned foods, they last several years, and they have to be rotated. Dehydrated food is very good, but it's a little bit expensive, and they have dried and powdered food that is also good. But somehow, you just have to make those decisions and figure out what works for you. Me, I like whole grains. They are a living food. And I also have found out that I'm not real good at rotating the food in my pantry. So grains you can put aside and they last. I especially like whole wheat or whole spelt. And besides the grain, you will want salt, pepper, and sugar. Also oil. And oil, now that one you will want to rotate. I like the non-GMO oil, and that means olive oil or sunflower oil. I don't know how long oil lasts. That's something for you to figure out. But I know I've had oil that was 5 years old, and it was just fine. Once I had some olive oil that was 12 years old, I kept it longer than I wanted. But I didn't notice anything bad about that. And I can't say that any oil will last that long. Not at all. I can't recommend a time that oil will last. But I want you to know that I did it, and it was okay. I can't recommend it. But the grains, the sugar, the salt, they last forever. Not forever, but they last a long, long time. So get a list of the things you want, and then start filling that list. I think it's important to have a wheat grinder, or probably two of them in case one is damaged. And I think a wheatgrass juicer is a great idea too, because you can get your greens from juicing the wheatgrass. It's a great idea. Besides these things, I think that it's very good to have vitamins and minerals and a cast iron cooking pot with a lid. Cast iron not only distributes the heat well, but there's one great benefit of cast iron, and that is it provides you with dietary iron, and everybody needs iron to be healthy for their blood. And I just mention that. So just like I mentioned the wheatgrass juicer, there are different things that are important. For wheatgrass, you put that in a tray of dirt and water it, and it grows. And you just need a little bit of light to grow it, like a window. The only thing is, if the temperature is too cold, it will not sprout. So you do have to pay attention to the temperature and keep it in a warm environment. So the food thing is always a big question because you have to find out what you like, but you also have to consider what you need. And I think calories are so very important. And it's just a matter of question. What ratio do you have of wheat to sugar, to oil, for instance? To me, I think we have to consider what our past diet has been. And we eat a lot of sugar in our society. So to me, you get 100 pounds of wheat and 25 pounds of sugar or honey and 2 gallons of oil and 5 pounds of iodized salt. Now be sure you get iodized salt because iodine is essential and we don't have a source of it in our normal food. So those are the kind of things besides wheat or spelt. I say also get 15 to 20% of that in beans or legumes, like lentils or split peas. And then get some white rice also, because that makes a very good change for your diet, for your what tastes good to you. Those are the things you have to think about. Do not get brown rice. Brown rice has too much oil in it, and it doesn't last. It goes rancid. Now, I've never had brown rice last over 1 year, sometimes just half that amount of time. So brown rice does not last. White rice does. And if you have animals, remember that in a pinch, you can always feed them the same thing you eat. Even if it's not the best, it'll work. Bread, that's what it is. You feed them bread. Nuts go bad pretty quick, too. You never know, because there's different nuts with different conditions. So those food bars that you're thinking of might not be so good after all. So you have to give these things thought. You never know until you actually put thinking into things. And I should mention with food, the next subject is you need a bathroom. You're going to eat, so you're going to need that bathroom. And you want it to be not too far away and still a good distance away. And always you want it to be away from your water, like 100 yards away if you can. And you need to have privacy at the bathroom. Now, if you don't have a real bathroom, you will need to have a hole in the ground. And those are quick and easy. But you do a big hole, and it works best with a post hole digger, where it's a small opening at the top, and it widens out a lot at the bottom. And you can do that with a post hole digger. So you don't put dirt into it, and then you do cover it whenever you're done using it. You can place just a little bit of fire ashes in it. That helps deteriorate things, but that's kind of the basics. Cover it if you can. Oh, and did I say, I did, have privacy around that location so that people have their privacy. It's always important to emphasize cleanliness. And without your normal water, running water, it's hard to wash your hands. And all kitchen workers have to pay very close attention to keeping things clean, keeping their hands clean, especially from fecal matter. This is huge. It's a huge, huge problem. Worldwide, there is so much disease and so much death that is caused by fecal contamination. They call it oral fecal contamination. And so you have to pay special attention to that, especially with children. And wash your hands frequently. That has to be important. One of the factors for oil or oral fecal contamination is flies. Black flies spread contamination. This has been well documented and tested. You have to keep flies out of your food area. There are diseases which go right hand in hand with these kind of problems, and right along with contaminated water also. And that's typhoid, cholera, and dysentery. And don't forget tuberculosis and other respiratory diseases. These are all things that affect us if we don't have good sanitation. So be careful. Pay attention. Look out. Pay attention. Cleanliness is so important if you don't have the proper water supply. Running water. And then you have the trash that you generate. In a grid-down situation, you would generate less because everything would have value and you'd have to just be careful with everything that you have. But you still wouldn't have trash disposal services. The garbage truck wouldn't be going around every week. So you need some way to dispose of your garbage. Some of it can be done with chickens, because they will eat your leftovers, if you even have any leftovers. But somehow you have to deal with it. Maybe burn it. Maybe bury it. And burying it is probably the best bet, but you have to bury it deep enough. This means feet deep, so that the animals do not dig it up. Those are just kind of the basics of what you need to be aware of. But as you go through life, please remember to be diligent. Pay attention to everything around you. Be aware. You have to realize that the people who are not aware around you are in danger. And sometimes there's not a thing you can do. If they're not aware, they're going to become a victim to crime or violence. And their life will be at risk. There's only so much you can do. But you be aware for your own self, and you tell other people about it. There's situations that just happen. 9/11 was one of them. We just had that anniversary. And almost 3,000 people died in that. And after the aftermath, the Corbett Report just reported there were 10,000 cancer deaths because of the contamination from 9/11. We have a hurricane going on, probably the biggest in U.S. history that's going on, Hurricane Florence. There are emergencies that we just have to be aware of, be vigilant to have our awareness of. There's also the financial areas. We could have one of those financial crises any time. The chairman of the Boston Federal Reserve just told us, he made a public announcement, that the Federal Reserve has no more monetary buffers. The monetary buffers are depleted that the Federal Reserve controls. So with that, it means there could be an economic downturn, or worse. They can't do anything about it anymore. That's what he was signaling. Is it true? It sure could be, and we just don't know. But what we do know is there's some things we can do, and the biggest thing we can do is get our finances stable. Get out of debt. And yes, whether an event is weeks away, months away, or years away, or if there's two events or three, we will just want to be a little prepared for it. And to me, I say, put your seatbelt on, because we could be in for a bumpy ride. Yeah, so you think about these things. Think about being prepared. And I want to thank you for listening today. And you can listen to this broadcast again, or previous broadcasts, by going to www.christtoday.org. All the broadcasts are a little bit different, but they all have similar themes to them. Check out one to see if it appeals to you when you go on the internet, www.christtoday.org. Oh, and from my free preparedness brochures, just send me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And until next week, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.